As Baudelaire said, one should always be drunk, or as Alan said, you could stagger out of here. One should always be drunk, that's all that matters, but with what? With wine, with poetry, or with virtue, as you choose, but get drunk.
But now, Joe, I don't think we should advise people to get drunk.
We are not. Baudelaire did, and he meant it literally and metaphorically. Drunk on poetry is okay, right?
Right.
Carry on, yes. And we do that with our dear friend John Fisher, professor of hospitality and service management at the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. He teaches the baccalaureate level Beverage Operations Management, Advanced Principles of Service Management in Hospitality and Spirits and Principles of Mixology courses. He joins us this morning. Wow, you do a lot, man.
I'm tired.
Yeah, you should be. You should be. It's great to have you here. Great to see you again. How's everything?
Everything's magnificent.
All right. We only have, let's see, we have 12 minutes.
Okay.
So let's. Where would you like to begin? We're talking today about wine, and as I met you in the hallway, you said to me, "We're going pink today."
Yes, drink
now,
pink.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, rosé is one of the great pleasures in wine, and this is the time of year when people start drinking rosé again. It's
meaning summer, like warmer weather kind of thing?
Well, it's supposed to be warmer today. But as the temperature rises and food gets a little bit fresher, people start, at least in the countries where rosé comes from, start drinking more rosé. And so I think conceptually to understand why rosé exists is the beginning of talking about any wine.
Okay, I'll bite. Why? Okay.
Well, think about it. If you're in Provence and you're sitting on the Mediterranean and you're about to have your grilled red snapper or your calamari salad, and it's 80, 90 degrees, do you want a big honking glass of red wine? Do you want a monstrous Syrah or Cabernet or Mourvedre?
No.
Those are the only grapes that grow in such hot places. White grapes turn into raisins on the vine in places that hot. So almost all the grapes grown there are red. Which means that if you want a wine that's going to be refreshing and cool and bright, you can't make it into a big red wine. You make it into rosé.
But I have friends who turn up their noses at rosé.
And I will learn them. I will help them to understand that pink wine is what they should be drinking with a lot of foods. And, you know, you go down to Provence, what do you have? You have ratatouille and tomatoes and garlic and fish and Mediterranean fish. And so it's this weird combination of lighter foods because it's fish, but more robust flavors because you have garlic and olive oil and rosemary and thyme and all the other Simon and Garfunkel herbs. It is...
Simon and Garfunkel.
I like it a lot.
Very often white wine won't be enough to keep up with those flavors, but red wine is too big and fuzzy and warm. So you want something refreshing that has a little bit more oomph than a white wine, but you don't want a big red wine. What do? You make rosé, which is taking the grapes, and after the red grapes have been in the tank for a little while fermenting, you take the skins away. Because the color in red wine comes from the skins, exclusively from the skins.
Interesting.
Well, the anthocyanins and all those other fancy chemicals are mostly in the skin, and that's where the pigments and the tannins are.
So if you put a red and a white grape together, took off the skins, you would basically have the same thing?
Yeah, yeah. Grape juice is white. Grape juice is greenish. Now, some red grapes, when you squeeze them, they get a little bit of a tint like some of these. But the color almost only comes from the skins. There are only two grapes I know of that actually have red juice. So that rosé process means that you take what would be red wine if you left the skins in there longer.
Yes.
But you take them, it's like pulling the tea bag out.
Just a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
Now, you have assembled, and we have some pictures on social media if you would like to see what we're talking about. But from left to right, before all three of us, we have a variation of color. It gets darker as we go along.
There's a method to my madness.
Explain the method, sir.
Well, the thing is that this is one of my favorite things about rosés, is that they come in such myriad colors, from the color of a brand new copper penny to almost a bluish purple, like this last one. That depends on how long you leave the skins in there, which also changes the amount of flavor.
So are we going for taste, or are we going for matching the drapes?
Yes.
Okay.
So the first one is a rosé from Provence.
Yes.
From Aix-en-Provence. And so it's probably mostly Mourvedre. And you see it is a very light color. This might be mistaken for a white wine by some people. But if you, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but in Provence, fully 70% of the wines produced are pink or rosé, because that's what you want.
Is that white wine pink?
No, this is pink wine. This is wine made from red grapes.
Wow.
And they
I got
put
it.
The skins
they put
out.
The skins out.
So,
they have no skin in the game.
That's right. Oh, a little bit of skin in the game. So if you want to give it a little sniff.
Swirl. Boy, you did that like almost, I don't want to say violently, but you did it very aggressively, and I don't know how to do that without, well, I mean, I know you're a trained
professional.
I swirl
milk and iced tea. I can't help myself. I swirl
everything.
Okay,
but I just don't know how you do that without spilling it.
I've been doing this 30 years.
Okay, all right.
So, and when you're swirling wine, the idea is that you're releasing the olfactory compounds.
Yes.
We're as precise as a lot of equipment, you know, scientific equipment, more precise, and we're able to smell more things.
Okay.
Except for the fact that I'm really jealous of my dogs because they have so much more power.
They do.
Olfactory ability. I mean, our olfactory system, if you unfolded it, is the size of a postage stamp.
Means
and dogs
they,
are the size of a bandana.
Means they could smell better, olfactory.
Yeah.
Okay.
My dogs don't always smell better, though. But you give it a sniff. And
sniff. I like that.
Mm. It smells like fruit. It smells like strawberries. It smells like red fruit. It is.
You're right there, buddy?
Apparently stronger than I thought. But it's.
You're right? A little too bubbly. Here, want a drink?
No. I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine.
The wine will work.
I expected it to be lighter than it is.
Well, that's part of the idea.
Yeah.
And that's why these wines go so well with so many different...
Novice.
They go well with so many... I think he meant stronger in flavor, not stronger in alcohol. Because it will go with foods that white wines can't handle. I kind of mentioned this before. But red wine is too much for.
Yeah.
So something like cured ham. The Easter
ham.
Which is horrible with red wine because the tannin combines with the cure and it tastes metallic. Anything that you add tomatoes to that's a light dish, like if you make a seafood stew of some sort and tomatoes end up in there, for lack of a better way of saying it, red things taste red. So you want some red flavor in the wine that's going to go now with the tomatoes in the cioppino. So you have a little bit of red that will, you know, it's a little bit beefier. It has a little bit more substance.
Yes.
So shellfish, grilled garlicky shrimp.
Oh, that'd
so
be
much
great.
Better with pink wine
that'd
than
be great.
With a wimpy white wine. And red wine would be too much.
Yeah,
sure.
Burgers. I love having rosé with burgers. I like beer with burgers too, but I like rosé with burgers. Tuna melts. Mm. You know, there's a lot of richness in there, and white wine won't necessarily go with the tuna melt.
So I'm old, and I remember the rosés that we used to buy in the bottles with the...
Matus?
Yes, that's the one.
And Matus. Lancers. Yeah.
And Lancers.
Yeah.
Those
Lancers.
What became of
those?
They're
great
of them?
Bottles, right?
They're still around. And it's
are
funny,
they?
You were always the most popular person at the party if you brought a bottle of Lancers. Like, ooh, they brought the good stuff.
Because
you know,
the Lancers are good, but the Matus is great because you could put a candle in it for the
rest
of the
life. Right,
the
drip candle.
Yeah.
For your dorm room.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was for.
Yeah. No, they're still around. And the funny thing is that a lot of people start their wine drinking with rosé, but with white Zinfandel.
Yeah.
And white Zinfandel, there's nothing wrong with it. It is a great cocktail. It is soft. There's a little bit of sweetness. It actually goes really well with barbecue and some foods like that.
Right.
But because a lot of people start with that wine, when they start becoming wine aficionados, they start saying, oh, I don't know. I don't drink pink wine anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So they start getting snotty.
It's snotty. It's snotty.
It is. But then when you learn even more, you get over the hump.
I don't like that.
And then you start actually understanding that sweet wine can be good and rosé can be good. And Riesling is amazing, but America doesn't understand Riesling.
Yeah, no.
So luckily, the two things that Americans are starting to figure out are dry rosé and good Riesling.
Okay.
Because they're great with foods.
So all right.
Second wine.
Yeah, second wine.
Is from Domaine Wolfer in Long Island.
Long Island. What's going on Long Island?
Oh, it's been going on for a long time. I'm trying to remember the name of the first couple that opened a winery down there. It'll come to me eventually.
But they have a lot of detergents in their water down there. Does that have anything to do with how good the wine tastes?
Only closer to Great Neck. out in the Hamptons on the Forks.
Wine and commentary today by John Fisher. Yes.
So go ahead and give it a taste.
All right.
So this is mostly Merlot with a, it's a mutt. There's all kinds of different grapes in it.
Oh, and I like that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a little bit lighter in flavor than the first one, not quite as intense. I would put it with foods that had a little less spice.
A little fruity.
Oh, by the way, spicy food, Mexican food. Wonderful with rosé because, again, it has just a little bit more lead in its pencil than a white wine would have.
Do you care to say anything?
No, I care to say, no, I care to say nothing.
Okay, just checking.
Except that there seems to be a bit of an overtone to this that the first one didn't have.
Yeah,
this
there's
a lovely overtone.
It's a little bit more minerality. It's a little bit more
minerality.
It smells a little bit more like wet rocks, which is good because think about it. What's rock? What are rocks? Minerals. What's
minerality.
Salt?
A
mineral.
Minerality.
It's salt is it goes well. It makes food taste
that's
good.
Beautiful. So that's a beautiful wine.
And
so what is this again?
Domaine Wolfer, rosé from North Fork of Long Island.
Wow.
Yeah.
But if it had come from the other fork, forget it, right?
Though there's only there's few wineries on the South Fork and around the Hamptons, not that many anymore. Yeah,
that's because all of the rich people have moved in there and they don't have any room for it anymore.
No, you need rich people to have wineries.
Oh, there's
so wine is to make a small fortune in the wine business. Start with a big fortune.
That's right.
Yeah.
The third wine is a Tavel, T-A-V-E-L, from the Rhone Valley, and by law, if it's called Tavel by French law, it has. And they have wine laws in France. They have wine police in France.
Wow.
So by law, anything from Tavel has to be a rosé. So you can see it's got a deeper color. It's probably going to be a little bit more intense.
It is more intense. I was surprised. Based after the wine, it looked like it might be the
right. So
the
this
lesser.
I would put with like a veal chop or some veal or a little bit heavier fish, a little bit more oily fish. Good blue fish from the North Fork. Yeah.
So what's the best? What's the best one for vegetarians? What rosé?
Actually, rosé is wonderful for vegetarian cuisine.
All three of them. All of them.
Any of them. And it is just because you don't have. That big animal protein flavor to deal with.
Right.
But very often you have complexity of spice and vegetables and grilled flavors. Grilled flavors are great with wine.
Now we have about 45 seconds, and if there's going to be a cork popping, I want to hear it on the radio.
Oh, well, the trick is to actually do it without making the cork pop.
Oh,
you could take
right.
some, you could take